Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Yeah, let's jump right in. Let's get going. As you have eyes, you see that I am not Pastor Bill. My name is AJ Claire Coper. I'm honored to be here. Me and my wife... We'll get ready to really cheer because my wife Mariah is here. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, she needs extra kudos because I had hip surgery like a week and a half ago. So anything that is not like right here, like Mariah, I need you. She's been pretty phenomenal. So if you're going to ask, what can we do for you? What can you do for Mariah? Starbucks gift cards and hugs and notes. And she's just been amazing. So grateful. I'm honored to be here with you guys. Pastor Bill is out of town. Man, Guts has meant so much to my life and my family and where we are, where we're going. And so for me to be able to speak to you is just an absolute honor. Get ready. I've got a lot to say, and get your writing hands or your typing hands, however you take notes, get ready, because it's coming at you, all right? I asked Pastor Bill what he wants me to speak on. He said, man, we're in a vein of form here. We're going after financial strength. Keep going. This is practical. It's useful. The church needs to hear it, and it's funny because that didn't really spark my interest a ton. That's not the drive of my heart and my passion, but I started studying. I started praying. I'm going, oh, my gosh, we do need this. He's absolutely right, and I think I get to come from an interesting perspective of it. I didn't grow up rich. I haven't had a ton of money and all these things like that, but I do know God's promises, and what I'm finding is if I know his heart, if I know his promise, if I know his word, I can have it. I don't have to come from a rich background. I come from a rich king. I come from a God who loves me, cares for me, and puts me above his own well-being so much so he died for me. Why would he not give me every great thing? If he gave me the Son and he gives me the Holy Spirit, why would I be poor? Why would I not have resource for every good work in my life and the calls of my life? This is where we're at, guys, and this is who you are. And so I'm going to draw this out. I want to make this very, very clear for you this morning that you're supposed to live a life of freedom. Freedom in every manner of the word, and we're going to point it right now. We're going to point the barrel at finances, which is a funny topic to get into in Christianity. Sometimes we think it's more holy to kind of push it aside and I'll just get by. And that's not it. That's not it. It's our job to grab a hold of this and take control, okay? Adam had total control in the garden, right? You're restored to that same place in the Garden of Eden. You're in control of the life that you're living. So let's take control today, okay? That's what he gave us. We're singing about the cross, man. We get freedom from in the cross. That was it. The cross wasn't so you go to heaven. The cross was so you have the life of Christ. We go to heaven because that's where he is, right? We're going to be with him. But right now, we're on earth showing who he is to the whole world. And if your life is not bright, powerful, and loud, you're doing it wrong. Because your life is supposed to be different than everybody else's. And how is that? The Spirit of God within you. If you're laboring, you're laboring in vain. If you're working as unto the Lord, he builds the house. He builds your house. He builds his house. He builds his kingdom on this earth, and you get to eat good of it. It's an awesome life that you give, take what you want, and give the rest. Get what you want, give the rest. What an amazing life that is. You're not funneling evil. You're not filtering evil. You're just taking good from God and giving it to the world. I've got notes. We'll get there. All right. I want to reiterate something Pastor Bill said on Wednesday and last Sunday. Anybody here last Sunday? The Christians? Just kidding. That's just a joke. I'm just kidding. You're Christians. Something that he kept harping on, and I want to make sure that I say it too, is that financial strength and prosperity has nothing to do with money. And that may sit weird, and that may make you roll your eyes, and you're not sure about that. I'm going to prove it to you, okay? Your financial strength and your prosperity is not aligned with money. So what money really is for us is just a tool. It's just a tool. You could take a hammer and you could build something great, or you could take a hammer and hit somebody on the head with it, right? The hammer's not evil. It's what your intent is with it. Money's the same thing. It's just a tool. What money's amazing at doing for us is reflecting what we care about. Money's great because it can show you what your true beliefs are and what your true desires are. And I'll give you an example of this. If you go to your bank statement, like most people just got paid. It's the first of the month. I almost went into Bone Thugs and Harmony right now, if anybody's with me. It's the first of the month. We're just in a ghetto theme right now, J-Dub. I don't know what the deal is. We look the part, obviously. But it's first of the month, you get your money. What's the first 25%? Where's that going? That's your belief system. If your first 10% goes to the church, the house of God, your tithe, God's first. What are you doing with the next 10, 15%? That's showing you where your priorities are aligning. If you go look at your bank statement, it's going to show you what you really, really, really believe in, because this is what's going to set me up to live the life that I want. The first bit, I'm waiting on that paycheck to come so I can go do what I actually believe. Now, you've got excess in your bank account too, and you may not feel like you do, but you do. If you go look at the bank statement, because we go out to eat and we go to movies and we do things, and that's great, that's awesome. But what I want to tell you that's about, what your excess spending is going to show you what your desires are, what your actual, what you're building in that sense. And so you need to look at the excess spending and going, is this what I'm trying to build? Like I gave the example of the 9:30, me and Mariah, if we went through our bank statement, we go out to eat a lot. We like going to restaurants. I like being served, as you can tell. I'm like, Mariah, I can't reach it. So we like going to restaurants. Now, I could easily sit down and go, man, we need to eat at the house, and we should just, you know, eat this way and save the money and this and that, but I don't look at it that way. That's our marriage investment. Her and I go out to eat. We get a babysitter. We go spend time together. We rest. We communicate. It's an awesome time of investment for our marriage. So I'm not looking at that money as just excess going to the wind. I look at it as I'm building my marriage. And so for me, that's worth it. But if you don't know what you're building with your excess money, that means the devourer is eating your seed. I'm going to say that again so that you can write that down. I didn't see enough hands start writing there. If you don't know what you're building with your excess money, the devourer is eating your seed. You need to be aware, okay? Because the enemy isn't strong. He's just deceptive. He just sneaks. He sneaks in, and he deceives. And if you're just ignorant, lazy, and apathetic, he can have his way with you. If you're alert and you have intentions and you're sharp and disciplined, he has no place in your life. Did you know that? That's all you got to do. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. It's that simple. Submit to God. Do what the word says. Resist the devil, the temptations of the flesh, and the things when you want to get emotional or you want to go after that thing that you shouldn't go after. Don't. And he flees. All you have to say is no. He's like a misbehaving dog. We had a really bad dog for a period of time. You think you had bad dogs. You didn't have bad dogs. We had a bad dog, Great Dane. So we had a mini horse. And the thing did not care what we said at all. And one time I was just, me and this dog were just in a fight, in an argument. He had way too much say in the house, if I'm arguing with a dog. But I stopped, and one point, the Holy Spirit just stopped. He goes, why don't you talk to the enemy that way? I was like, sit down, be quiet, go over there. He goes, why don't you talk to the enemy that way? That's how much say he should have in your life. He encroached too much. Get out, you're not allowed in here. This isn't your place. You have the same say in your financial freedom. The exact same say, okay? Let's dive into it. I've got scriptures for you. One more thing that I wanted to say real fast. I think this is a great point. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. And I bring up self-control when I'm going into that excess spending, okay? Self-control, in Galatians 5, there's 8 fruits of the Spirit. That's the last one, self-control. And I want to tell you, if you can have self-control with your money, you can have the optimum pleasure that you're wanting. Your flesh wants immediate satisfaction. I'm hungry right now, I want a cheeseburger, go. Like that's what your flesh wants, is that immediate satisfaction. The spirit of self-control is leading you to prolong and invest to where it's gonna be at its highest point. Not saying you don't get pleasure, just saying let's do it at the right time and in the right way and in the biggest form, okay? I don't know if I said that clear enough for you to capture it, but your flesh wants it now, your spirit's going, we're gonna do it when it's right and how it's right, okay? And it's gonna be a bigger reward for you. And so flex that self-control in your excess spending. This is not a Dave Ramsey class. I just want you guys to be intentional, okay? All right. Let's go to Matthew 6, 24. You know this one. Pastor Bill kind of has been circling this with this series. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. I think it's interesting Pastor Bill brought up the point. He didn't say the devil. He said mammon. Because that's what our flesh aligns with, right? You're made out of dust, so what does your body want to do? Go back to the dust. That's a piece of the curse. I'm only drawn to the earth because I'm made of the earth. And then you got a recreated spirit that's from heaven, and he goes, I want you to focus on the heaven, not the earth, okay? You've got to make the decision on what you're going to focus and what you're going to make king. And he just said, you can focus on God as your king or mammon as your king. Mammon is a being. It's a spirit. And he's taken a throne that he should never have. He's taken a throne of our life in our peace and in our direction. And I'm going to get into how he really does that, but mammon wants control of your life, and he's going to do it in very sneaky, sneaky ways, okay? I said that money's not meant as a, it's just meant as a tool, but it became a master. And when did mammon become a master? When did mammon get a throne? Right when Adam and Eve ate from the fruit. You've gone to Guts Church long enough, a lot of you guys. If you're a visitor with us, sorry, Pastor Bill's not here. That happens all the time. I brought my friend and it was a guest speaker. Like, how many times does that happen, right? Well, hey. Come back next week. It's the 26th anniversary. The man of God will be here for you, and it'll be awesome. What was I talking about? Yeah, you got me, Adam and Eve. Okay. Adam and Eve, they ate from the fruit. And so we know the three pieces that Pastor Bill always draws out is poverty, sickness, and death. If you're dealing in one of those three things, or all three of those things, you're dealing in a curse that you should not have a part of, okay? You're toiling in things that you shouldn't have your hand about. And so poverty, sickness, and death. And I always thought death was the thing that really hit Adam and Eve. No, the very first thing that hit them was poverty. Very interesting. I'm going to prove it to you here in Genesis chapter 4, verse 17. I'm going to start in the middle of verse 17. Cursed is the ground for your sake. God's talking to Adam. Cursed is the ground. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it. Hang on to that word toil. All the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. He just defined poverty right there, didn't he? Adam, you're going to toil. He didn't say work. He didn't say labor. Work and labor in the Bible produce fruit. It produces growth. It produces something. Toil is running on a treadmill to try to get somewhere. That's what toil is. He says, Adam, you're going to work really hard, but you're not going to have what you had. You were walking around in the garden, eating whenever you wanted, and it was happy to give it to you, and you were happy to give back. Because here's a side note for you. A show of spiritual maturity is generosity. Why was the Garden of Eden paradise? Because everything gave and nothing took. Adam was created as a grown man, right? Here's the dust, I'll shape you up like a little clay doll. Here's breath, your life. He wasn't a baby, right? He was a grown man. Well, the earth was the same way. It was in a mature status to where it could give. The show of maturity was that it gave. That's why it was paradise. If you're not in a state where you're generous, it's because you're lacking in spiritual maturity. It's not that if you had more money, you'd be generous. It's that you're not generous because you don't know God the way you should. It's hard. I love you guys. I'm not mad at you. Okay? Generosity has nothing to do with a bank account. It has nothing to do with a position at your job. It only has to do with your heart and your trust in God. Because if you're formed into the image of Christ, what did Christ do? He gave everything, so much so his own life. If you're acting like Christ, what are you going to give? Man, as anybody has need. Because I have resource for every good work, because I'm not equipped from the earth and what I do, I'm equipped from heaven. Okay? You have an unlimited source. J-Dub was talking about the story of the loaves and fishes. That should be every day of your life. I don't know if it's there, but I know I'm supposed to do it, so it will be there. It may not be back here, but it will be there. Sometimes you need to walk forward to get to the place that you're supposed to go, not reach back to see if you've got it there. The Bible says, forget the things that are behind and press on. I leave those things which are behind and I press on to the high calling of Christ Jesus, okay? And so maturity is generosity. But he said, Adam, you were in the garden, but now everything's different. The ground is cursed. It's not giving. You're going to have to take from it. And you're going to toil and you're going to work hard. And that night you're going to eat what you worked for that day, and it's going to be from the sweat of your face. And then guess what? You're going to wake up the next morning, and you're going to have to work again to eat that night. And then you're going to wake up, it's hand to mouth. It's paycheck to paycheck, isn't it? He just said, Adam, the first curse that hit you is poverty. Isn't that crazy? And if Adam's going, well, I just needed better ground. I wish I had better equipment. I wish I had more workers. No, it had nothing to do with that. And I'll prove it to you, because the Israelites got out of Egypt, right? Did they go to a fertile crescent in a nice place? They went to the wilderness. Adam, you're going to work all day. And he's just outside of Eden. It's not like a barren terrain. He had a nice ground to work there, right? So he's working hard to just get by. Did the Israelites work hard when they were in the wilderness? No. They woke up in the morning and manna was there. Does it have to do with where you are and what you're doing? It has to do with who you are. They're children of God. Adam lost that right standing with God. The Israelites were in it. They're in the wilderness living a great life. Adam's right next to paradise and doesn't have it. It's not your job. It's not your paycheck. It's your heart stance. It's your faith. You can get there. You are there spiritually. You just haven't brought it into fruition in your life yet. There's that gateway, your soul. You see, because you're a three-part being. You're made in the image and likeness of God. You're a three-part being, your body, soul, and spirit. And so there's that soul right in the middle that is going to determine which one you're following. Am I following the spirit or am I following the flesh? And there's things in your soul that can stop the spirit from getting into your flesh. Unforgiveness, bitterness. Do you know in Job chapter 42, that he didn't get double everything that he had. We always read the end of it, right? Like, and Job got double everything he had. Awesome. It didn't happen until he prayed for his friends. It says, when Job prayed for his friends, God blessed him double everything he had. Why did he have to pray for his friends? Because for months, they had just been talking trash about him, going, this is your fault you're going through hard times. He had to forgive them. So when he prayed and blessed them, it opened up his soul for the Spirit to come through. Are you blocking God's hand from your life? You've got a lot of power. We're not sitting here just going, God, do something. You're walking this out. You're living. You're as Christ was on the earth. You do what you're told by God, but you do it as unto the Lord. Let's move on. Okay. Everybody here? We good? I did something horrible. I just committed a horrible crime. Sepulpa and Skytook are with us right now. I'm the Sepulpa campus host. I didn't even welcome my crew. Oh, my gosh. I made a mistake. You guys better have been loud, though. I've got secret shoppers in there, and they'll tell me if you're paying attention. We will drop the hammer. All right. Guts Church is a cool place. So we are not called to live in this survival mode. We're not eaten by the sweat of our face. And you may be there for a period of time. That's okay. But that's not where you got to remain. That's not where you live. You see, God, it says that he brought us out of the miry clay and set our feet on a rock, right? Well, the problem is a lot of us get drawn back into that clay all the time. Again, I'm talking about your flesh. You're not disciplining your flesh. You're not practicing that self-control. And we go rock to clay, rock to clay, rock to clay. Sometimes we're okay. Man, I made it to church on Sunday. I feel good. Everything's all right. Monday hit clay, right? We're going and bouncing like that. You're not called to live that way. He said, I've set your feet on the rock, which is Christ, it says. Christ is also the word of God. So I brought you out of the miry clay and I set you on the word of God. Can we say it that way? Now, what do you do with the word of God? That's up to you. Because you're called to go from clay to rock to throne. But the throne is if you're going to believe it, if you're going to walk it out, if you're going to go find it in the word and live by it. You're not called to go rock to clay, rock to clay. You're going clay, rock, throne. Okay? Are you doing it? Are you standing on the word of God? Are you bringing these principles into your life? I told you your excess money is what you're building. You're a creator being. What are you creating with it? Is it just going out the window to nothing? Is it just going to the flesh? Or are you building something in your life? I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a self-made man, but there are intentional men. You can put your money towards something and let God bless it. You can have a plan and he can direct your steps. If you don't have a plan, he can't direct your steps. You can't steer a boat that's not moving, right? You better start moving. That was a side note. All right. This is making sense, though, right? This is not about money. We're saying the words prosperity and we're saying the word finances, but it's not money. Financial strength and prosperity align with money only for those who earn from the earth. Money aligns with those two words only if you're earning from the earth. Financial strength and prosperity align with obedience for those who receive from heaven. Okay, you can earn from the earth, and it has to do with money, or you can stop serving King Mammon, serve Jesus, and just obey. If you want an open heaven over your life, we all know what to do here, right? We tithe. If you're rebuking the devourer, me and Joel were talking about this, if you're rebuking the devourer from the midst of you, you're doing it wrong. That's not your job. That's God's job. And all you have to do is obey and tithe, and he rebukes the devourer. Because there's life coaches and there's motivational speakers and there's guys that can tell you how to toil really good, right? And they can get you to not be broke, but they can't get you out of poverty. Why do I say that? That sounds like I'm mixing terms. Because poverty is a mindset. I know people with million-dollar margins that are poverty because they don't feel like they have enough. They can toil you out of brokenness, but they can't toil you out of poverty. Do they have great principles? Yeah, absolutely. You can listen to those guys because you're a recreated Holy Spirit being, and you can take those principles and let God bless them. But if you're working without God and on your own, you're building it in vain because every step forward you take, the devourer is going to come in and make you take a step back because he's not rebuked from the midst of you. If you're not tithing to the church, you are fighting an uphill, muddy battle that's just going to keep sliding down. And you may get a little win, and you're going to slide down. The tithe is securing that line of provision in your life, okay? Because Psalm 23:1, you guys know this one, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It actually translates into be in want, meaning I'm not lacking. The Lord is my shepherd, I'm not missing anything that I want. That's what it means. So if you're a sheep, and we're all sheep, right? Because he came and won us. If you're in the sheepfold, are you taken care of? If a wolf shows up, are the sheep fighting it? No. Sheep are worthless little creatures, okay? That's us. We'll get beyond that. I'm going to tell you more. It's going to get more exciting, okay? But we're sheep. He protects us. He provides for us. He leads us. That is baseline Christianity. That is, as soon as you said, I turn from my ways, I make Jesus the Lord of my life, you're now a sheep that's provided for and protected and guided, okay? That is not Pastor Bill stance. That is just baseline, okay? We should all be in this place where all our needs are met according to his riches and glory, so everything we do from there is profit. Does that make more sense? Okay? You're in a place to win. And this is why at the church we just go help people win. Help them win. And it's not because they need more strength. It's that they just need more understanding of what they're missing. You're missing freedom. I'm not talking about getting everybody rich. I'm talking about having the wealth to do what you're supposed to do and do the things you enjoy to do. God's not a just enough God. God's the one of overabundance and overflow. The loaves of bread and fishes, there were 12 baskets left over and everybody was full. That's the God you serve. Can he just get you by in your bills? No, he can pay the bills and get you the vacation that your family's going to connect in. You have a side in this. He's not just going to miraculously do it for you. You have to take steps. You have to be in faith. You have to do the things that he's told you to do so that he can freely give you. Because he wants you to be a show on the earth, right? I'm getting excited. All right. He wants you to be a show on this earth. He wants you to be a reflection of his glory. And if you're not doing what he says, he can't bless it because it doesn't look like him. If you go do it yourself, you do it your way, you're backstabbing to get ahead, I can't bless that. That's not what I would do. That's not what Jesus does. That's not how we act. I can't bless you. But when you fall in line and you go, God, what would you have me do? Man, I want you to be generous. Remember, the Garden of Eden was paradise because it was generous. That's a show of maturity. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. All right. So how do you know if you're serving mammon or serving Jesus? Let me give you three simple steps. This is if you are serving mammon. Number one, your paycheck is the source for your life, meaning you are making your decisions on I can and can't do something based on what my paycheck says. You're supposed to do things based on what the Word of God says, what the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you says. That's how you're supposed to live. But if you're going, that paycheck says I can do this or I can't do this, mammon is leading you, okay? Number two, you're going to work to get and not to give. There's one we all love, right? Tomorrow's Monday. Go to give. We're Christians. We go places on assignment. We don't go somewhere to get a paycheck. We go somewhere to change the culture. We go somewhere to bless the coworkers. We go somewhere to be as Christ would be on this earth. And yeah, they can pay us to do it. It's a pretty cool way to think about it, right? Because we've got it mixed up where we think it's our boss's job to promote us. Well, I've got tenure here. I'm number one in sales volume. I've whatever it is. It's not your boss's job to promote you. It's your job to become promotable. It's your job to invest in yourself. It's your job to grow. It's your job to see innovation and things that could change. It's your job to do that because whenever you are doing the goodness of God, he reveals it. God is not the revealer of facts. God is the revealer of goodness. And if you're investing and growing and seeking him out, what has to happen? The ceiling blows off. And that boss can promote you, or God can move you to where you get promoted. It's not on your boss. He is not your ceiling, or she is not your ceiling. Your ceiling is, are you becoming more and more promotable? All the business owners in here are going crazy. Preach it, right? Preach it. I just wish my people would take care of the building when I wasn't there. Man, if a Christian would step up and take care of the building, they become promotable. You see how it works? It feels natural, but it's spiritual. It's controlling your future. You've got it in you. You've got a prophetic God. What do you think he's putting on the inside of you? Hey, get ready. Hey, prepare. Hey, this is what you'll need. This is what you should do. Things move in seasons. Is anybody shocked right now that you have to wear a jacket? No, it's December. But for some reason, spiritually, we're like, oh my gosh, what happened? You're not praying and you're not in the Word, so you have no idea when the new season shifted. Get ready. Prepare. Same thing in your finances. God wants to get you ready for not just storms, but for increase. If you don't have room for increase, how can he increase you? Did you hear that one? If you don't have room for increase, how can he increase you? If you don't have a place to put it, if you don't have a plan in place, if you don't have the team that can handle it, how could he bless you? You see how much the ball is in your court? He did his job. Now it's on us. Okay. And the third one that I'm going to give you for how you know if you're serving mammon, you're living life in comparison. You're living life in comparison. It doesn't matter how good things might be going in your life, you see somebody else with something better. This is our culture, right? Half the people in here have probably been on Facebook or Instagram since I started speaking. That's fine. Take pictures of me. But we're living life in comparison. Comparison is just a thief. It's the 10th commandment. Don't covet. Did you know that? Don't covet. Don't want what somebody else has. Why? Because what you have and where you're going is going to satisfy you. What they have and who they are is not going to satisfy you. So even if you got that, what are you going to do? Find somebody else to go chase after. Instead of chasing King Jesus, mammon's got you running in the wilderness, doesn't he? He wants to lead you to the promised land, but you keep doing circles in the desert. Stop comparing. It's a thief. It's a spiritual thief. Love your life. Love your life. It's amazing, and it's in your hands. Stop being victims. We're not victims in here. And I don't want to downplay things that happen. There's people that suffered abuse. There's people that had car wrecks that set them aside. There's things that happen. I know that. And you can be a victim of a circumstance, but you can't be a victim for life. You got to move over, because the amazing thing is when you get the breakthrough, when you get the victory, now you're more than a conqueror. Why? Because I beat that, and now I'm going to set other people free with it. Stop being a victim in your life. You're not a victim. You've got the Spirit of God. The Spirit of resurrection life is in you. How could anything ever overcome you? It's impossible. It's impossible in the Spirit, but if you're fighting the flesh, it's 50-50. All right. Now, okay, great. Now I serve mammon. Thanks, AJ. What do I do? Well, we need to make King Jesus king, don't we? Because you can either serve God or mammon. If you don't want to serve mammon, who do you serve? God. It's straightforward. There's no gray area. I'm going to give you Pastor Bill's 5 points from last week. I'm going to put my spin on them, but I'm going to give you his points from last week. Number one, give Jesus your life. Give Jesus your life. There's a story where the disciples, I think it was, came to Jesus and they said, "Do we pay taxes to Caesar? Like, we don't really want to be under Roman rule, and we're way into you. Like, should we pay taxes?" And everybody in the room said, "We wish he said no." But that's not what Jesus said. He said, "Give me a coin." And they gave him a coin, and he goes, "Whose face is on this coin?" And they go, "Caesar." He goes, "Then give Caesar's what Caesar's." And I think if they had followed up and they had said, "Well, what do we give to God?" I think God would have said, "Whose face is on you?" "I'm going to give you my life, God. It's my life. You made me. You gave me breath. You gave me purpose and a plan. I'm going to follow it. Why? Because it's perfect for me and it glorifies you. Give Jesus your life." Okay? Number two, get in the Word and live life there. This is not homework. This is your life. Did you guys know that? The Bible is your life. It's not a how-to. It's not just a good wisdom thing. This is your life. You're going to read Scripture, and it's going to change your life. It's going to change your perspective. It's going to change your platform. But if you're not in the Word, there's nothing. I don't even know what to say to that. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing that God can do. You're missing it. It's funny. It takes about a minute and a half to know if somebody spends time in the Word, because it comes out of their mouth. Like, we know everybody who CrossFits and is vegans, and like we hear about it, right? We know all that stuff. But are you in the Word so much that it's just what comes out of your mouth? Like, it's funny for me being up here and like I can't even do like the small talk and have fun. Like, here's my family, and I'm not like, I go to the grocery store and like paper and plastic. I'm like, "How's your heart?" You know, they're like, "Leave me alone, you weird guy." But I can't do small talk. I don't have time for it. I want people to know Jesus. And not just, "Are you going to heaven when you die?" No. Are you living hell right now? Because if there can be heaven on earth in the Lord's Prayer, there can also be hell on earth, and most people are living it. Help them. You've got it. And I don't need you to be an awkward person with a bullhorn, but if you talk to somebody, let the Word of God come out of your mouth. Because it may be an awkward moment, but it's a moment. The enemy can work for 30 years every single day in somebody's life, and one moment from God can wreck the whole castle. Is that the coolest news ever? You can wreck a whole castle with one moment. Take those moments, because you're going to grow too. Because it's better to give than to receive, right? All right. Number three, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. We got to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, guys. And I don't want to be weird, awkward Pentecostal, but don't. I got saved, and I have the Holy Spirit. Now, you got the seal of the Holy Spirit. If you want the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you need to come get prayed for by the elders of the church after church. Side stage. Come up. And yes, the sign of it is praying in tongues. Is that weird? I don't know. If you're weird with it, it's weird. If you're not weird with it, it's not weird. How about that? If you're a weird person, you're going to make everything weird. So, man, get baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you. If you got questions about it, if you're going, I may not even be ready for that yet. I just want to talk about it. Come up and talk to somebody about it. They'll take the weird off it and make it make sense. Okay. And number five, tithe and give. Tithe and give. He didn't just say tithe. This is Pastor Bill's note. Tithe and give. Well, goodness, when does this end? It never ends. It never ends. It's who you are. You are a giver. And I want to say this because I told you sheep are just provided for, right? Needs are met. You're not going down, but that doesn't mean you're going up either. Well, you're not just a lamb. You're also a lion because Jesus is the lion and the lamb, and the same spirit that dwelled in him dwells in you. So you also have that lion in you. That's the increase. That's what you go and take. That's what you go and fight for. That's where you go and storm the castle and take all its stuff. You have that on the inside of you. And so if you're going, man, I need to increase, here's what you do. I've got 3 points for you, and you're going to have to apply them to how they mean. If you want to increase, number one, you've got to be generous. And I'm not talking about just giving your tithe because it auto-drafts out. That's awesome. Do that. But I'm talking about looking for opportunities to be generous. I mean, there's a Guts Girls tree back there with, we want to help people. That thing should be totally, like, somebody should just take the tree and, like, I got this. You know, go take every tag off that tree. Be generous. That's increase. Number two, self-control. And the things that you could just let slip through the cracks or go through, you're not. You're self-controlled with it. I'm not going to eat my seed right now. I'm going to plant my seed and let it grow. That's increase, okay? So you're generous, you're self-control, and third, you're bold. You're going to go take the steps that you need to take for that to happen. God wants to bless you, but if you put yourself in a place where he can, have you taken a step of faith so that he can lift you up? Because a step of faith is not on a flat plane. This is the high calling of Christ Jesus. A step is a step up. And man, that looks scary. And that looks daunting. And that looks difficult. I know, but just take it, man. I'm going to strengthen you. And when you get there, is there a whole new set of problems? Yeah, but you're at a whole new grace level too. The enemy's always under your feet if you keep walking up. That was good. Thank you. All right. Tithe and give. I want to give you, I'll close here with this. Because God doesn't want this to just be a routine of muscle memory. He wants this to be a relationship and an intentionality thing. And so he told them in the Old Testament when they were under the covenant, they didn't have the Holy Spirit like we do dwelling in them. And so he had to tell them how to do everything by the law, right? And so what Deuteronomy 16:17 says, every man shall give as he is able. Can you already feel the ceiling on that? You're just going to give as you're able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. My three-year-old, she's in junior kids. What do? We gave her a dollar. Hey, put that in the offering. Can she put $3 in the offering? No, we didn't give it to her. Can she go spend it somewhere? She's three, maybe. I don't know. Figure it out. But she could blow it, or she could do what we told her. That's her only two options, and she can't give above and beyond. That's the Old Testament, and a lot of people are living that way. You're making the ceiling your tithe. That should be your flooring, not your ceiling. The tithe, okay? And so what Paul does is he flips the script because he knows how the Holy Spirit works. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, he says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Now is it God telling you what to give? No, now it's you getting that unction inside of you going, man, I want to just blow this open. I want to reap bountifully, so I'm going to sow bountifully. You're the lid to your life. What do you believe in? That's it. That's it. You've got a generous God living on the inside of you. Are you releasing him so that he can be generous to you and the world? You're viral, man. Everybody's life should be changed that comes into contact with you. And again, I'm not telling you to be like a weird Kirk Cameron movie or like I want you to. He's cool. I mean, where do I go from there? Just keep going. Okay. your life is real, man, and your life is powerful. Be you empowered by God. How about that? Be you empowered by God. You got an awesome life ahead of you. Now I'm going to actually turn this over. Tom Moneypenny's covering for me in St. Paul, but why don't you take them? Aaron White, Sky Tuck, you take them. But I want to minister to you guys here for just a second, because I want you to give you a step. I don't want to just load you up and then say, okay, carry this out the door. I want you to have a step with it. And so I want to pray an increased prayer, but you've got to put intentionality and something specific behind it. And so if you're going, I need to get off the rock and I need to start building and get into the throne, would you just wave at me? Then it's time to increase in my life. Yeah, hands all over. I need to increase. And listen, it's not about money. Can you increase in your marriage? Yep. Can you increase at your job? Yep. What are you going to put the word of God on? Your faith is sticky. Your faith can go on to whatever you want to put it on. And the Bible says the only thing that pleases God is faith. So you can give him your money, but if your faith isn't in it, he doesn't care about your money. What are you putting your faith on? We've got to increase. We've got to grow, because the world is dark and we're the only light here. Jesus is coming back, but he's not here right now. You are plan A through Z. I put my Holy Spirit in you. Go do it, okay?
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.